Blog Talk Radio.
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
So what's on your mind?
I know, we're going to continue from last week. Last week we talked about what a woman needs. They want to talk about what my goals need and all.
What do I want and need? It's a very hard question.
What a man needs in a woman. It's a very what?
Oh, okay. I misheard you.
What'd you say?
What a man needs in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that a man needs understanding. He needs to be understood. And that he must communicate to do so. He also must communicate for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be understood, he must understand. He had to understand what he's asking or requesting. He must understand to whom he's talking to. He needs to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And in respect, he teaches and demonstrates respect. The loyalty and all that comes with respect, all those things falls under respect, including the idea of love. It falls under respect. Trust falls under respect. Once you have those things and there's an understanding, then you can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But if respect isn't there, you're doomed.
Gotcha. So that's your respect is like that's number one, regardless.
Yes, because if there's the slightest disrespect, we can part ways. Now, with that, if there's no understanding, then as a man, it's my job to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can move forward from there, whichever direction it may be. But if, I don't want to say unteachable, but if that's the case, then it's best for us to part ways because there's going to be troubles to come.
Gotcha.
So to answer that question, yes.
Gotcha. So, I mean, yours is very streamlined and simple. I think I think I have the extended version. But you feel like once your person respects you, everything else falls under that same umbrella.
Yes. And because of the level of respect, there's also a level of understanding. There will be a level of communication. Even if something is out of the norm, there will be, because of the respect, there will be an opportunity to gain an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's communication.
Gotcha.
Also, the environment plays a huge part in which both parties were raised in.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if you don't know what is, if you've never displayed or being shown a healthy relationship with those elements encapsulated, then you and your partner won't last. But because you've seen those things, you know that there's maybe some troubled waters, but that doesn't necessarily mean we get out of the pool.
Gotcha. So precise.
I'm sorry?
So precise. I just said it was so precise.
Well, in order to...
simple, though.
It's very simple. In order to know what you want, you must first know what you want.
Right. Absolutely. I can agree.
If we both had troubled relationships, a troubled past, in order for us to become healthy, we first have to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And healing can be from parental relationships. Healing can be from previous relationships. Healing can be from, you know, schoolyard bullies. Whatever the case may be. In order for us to progress in a healthy relationship, we have to first heal. So now that goes back to understanding my past, respecting it, and because of us and my respect for us, I have to communicate these things to you. So everything starts with respect and understanding.
Yes.
But in order to obtain an understanding, you have to communicate.
Well, I guess that would walk us into the next topic, though. Communication versus comprehension. Because you can say what you need, so you blue in the face, right?
Well, yes. When you when you're communing or talking just to do such, then that's the problem. But comprehension and understanding, are you communicating just to lecture, or are you communicating with an opportunity for questions to be asked so a clear understanding can be attained, then the growth can come. Now, even in asking questions, it may be some conviction, it may be some discomfort, which also is necessary for growth. Case in point, if there was someone outsourced their passion and you checked it and you say, well, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Do you know what you did wrong? What did I do wrong? So that we can get past this, those questions have to be entertained, right?
Right. With truth.
Now, it may be hard to recover from that, but it's a possibility. So sitting here communicating with the purpose of understanding, comprehension, versus answering questions just for the sake of speaking, like you're listening to respond versus listening for comprehension. If you're listening to just respond, then nothing is going to be obtained.
Right.
But if we're communicating with the purpose of understanding and comprehension, then we can go beyond that moment.
Gotcha. So do you think people have to kind of somewhat be on the same level for that kind of understanding to come about?
I think, yes, I think that before we should attempt a relationship, we have to get on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, it's going to be so draining. It's going to be so exhausting. Because biblically, they would say equally yoked. Because one party is carrying more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's carrying the bulk of the load is the one that's going to get tired.
Right. Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It definitely does.
Also, I left this part out. Another thing that a man needs is support. And truthfully and honestly, both parties need support. It may be uncomfortable, but support is necessary. You may not even understand, and you may not be the one that's doing the bulk of the work, but just to come up and give him a rub on the shoulder and say, hey, I brought you some coffee. I know you're going to be up a while, or here's your lighter for your cigar, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
To be right there. You don't have to stay up all night with him, but to just show support in an auxiliary position, that is just as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
as the rest of those components I mentioned earlier.
Gotcha. So, I don't know. So, gut and dry. I get it. But I understand it. Remaining the same. I don't think people should remain
the same.
Well, I think in a sense you should remain the same. But not so much like, you know, every relationship needs to evolve together. Not apart with them.
Well, that's part of it.
Not apart, but grow apart. But how important is it that your partner remain the same?
In order for us to establish a relationship, we both should have been on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's no longer a you and I. We're us. From the moment we establish the relationship going forward, there's an us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no more you.
Mm-hmm.
As a single woman. It's you as his lady. So the growth that y'all do from that moment is together.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're nurturing the relationship. You're not losing yourself. You are gaining a him. And vice versa. You are still the person that I fell in love with. But now we're together.
Mm-hmm.
We grow and mature together.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So then, what about, because, I mean, multiple parts of a relationship, what about the physical part of it? Is that just as important?
Oh, that's definitely important. That's definitely important. If we got it on daily and twice on Sundays, and all of a sudden we just get it on daily and once on Sundays, me personally, I'm going to think there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is different. Now, somebody is getting it that second time on Sunday.
She can't just be tight.
Well, all of a sudden she's tight. She wasn't tired for the last 3 years. We got it every day and twice on Sundays.
Well, maybe she has a lot going on mentally.
Okay, maybe so. But why does she have a lot going on and I not know about it?
I can agree. Mental check-ins are important.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. Because I need to know, you know, I saw you this morning. And I checked on you at lunch, and then on your way home, and you were fine. And then you came home, and you didn't want to have sex. I'm going to wonder why. I'm like, what happened between then and now? Where's the
mm-hmm.
shift? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still
mm-hmm. That's very important. That has to be established. That has to be established. And even if communication is so important, in doing that check-in, I have to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just ran over a deer. So my mind isn't quite right. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. I caught bad news. I got a phone call from a cousin, whatever the case may be. Because if not, you're going to think there's something else.
Okay.
You may even think you did something.
Thank you.
But it all comes to, one, knowing your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, knowing yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, who is your partner getting to know?
Somebody.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
I am not the easiest person to know or to get along with. I know that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I shared it in the very beginning. I have been called an asshole since day one.
You okay with that?
I get that. Yes, I am perfectly fine with that.
Thank you.
Everybody can't handle my delivery. Mm-hmm. Everyone can't handle my tone. Everyone can't handle my message. It's not on you.
Yeah, no, I do believe that. I'm not responsible
you definitely believe it?
Speak what I say.
No. Uh-uh. I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand. I live by the rules.
But in your relationship, is there room for understanding?
Yes, there's.
I mean, I figured
there's no limit on questions.
Like, you always put me on the spot.
Oh, there's no limit on questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions till you understand. And I'm obligated as the leader, as the head, as the man of this relationship to continue to answer until there's an understanding. Now, once there's an understanding, we're not going to keep coming back down this road because I've taught you, so I know that you know.
Right.
So the first time you may say, you know, I didn't know. But after you had the conversation, there would not be a second time of, I didn't know about this specific topic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's better for us to get an understanding and know who we're dealing with in the beginning before we decide to establish a relationship.
Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, you don't know your person's full self. That still comes with learning. And time and consistent communication. Right? Or do you disagree?
I think in order to know your person, your, as you like to say, to the full extent, it will take at least 5 years.
Wow.
Why do I say 5 years? Watch this. Because within those 5 years, y'all should have encountered everything together. From life or birth to someone dying. and everything in between. To y'all go to a restaurant and her steak being cooked wrong. How she handled that. How she handled dealing or speaking to someone in the service industry. Is she talking down to them, speaking to them in a condescending tone, or is she treating everyone like a human?
Mm-hmm.
You won't just get that in, you know, a one-night stand. And now, that's my girl.
Right.
Does it take 5 years to fall in love? No, it does not. But to truly have an idea or to truly know who you're with, it's going to take just that long. Because it's going to take quite some time just for her to get comfortable with telling you things of her past and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You may not like the way she drives, but you didn't know that until y'all went on a road trip.
Right.
When you drop, I'm sorry?
I said 5 years is a long time.
Well, that's not an exact number, but what I'm telling you is from the time your cousin had this baby and you're like, I got to have a baby shower for her and we got to cry and we got to have matching. I'm going to have this outfit on and your ensemble will match mine. And it's going to be the theme of the baby shower. And I say, no, I'm not going to be there. We won't know how that happens until we're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, we always did this as a family. And I'm going to say, well, that's like more the broad side of things. That's the female side. The men, we're going to go out here and hang out under the tree and let y'all have that. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But until we're in that situation, we won't know.
Gotcha.
You don't know that. In my family, when someone passed, they stay at the house until the funeral. You don't know that until we're in that situation.
Right.
And you're going to be like, hey, so, like, we go stay here with your auntie in the house. You may not be cool with that. You may be scared of a damn body. Who knows? Whatever the case may be, we won't know until we're in that scenario.
Right.
That's it.
I just realized it does remain in the same. Gotcha.
Huh? Say that again?
I said I just realized it says remaining the same in that same.
Remaining the same.
It says remaining the same, not same.
Okay.
The title. Staying power. What gives the relationship staying power? What do you think makes a person want to stay?
A person wants to stay because they want to be there. If someone is there because they want to, it's because they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's there because they need to, it's a chore. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So the staying power is because they enjoy the company. They enjoy the conversations. Even when it's that time of the month and they can't have sex, it's got to be something that keeps both of them in the house in that moment. Maybe they lay in bed and read a book instead of watching television. and just have simple conversation about whatever random topics. It may be the enjoyment that both of them feel. So they're there because they want to be there. And they recognize that they may not get that any other place.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they won't even try to go seek it from any other place. Because they recognize what they have at home or in their partner.
Gotcha.
I believe that all these things come with time. I believe it happens because when the two parties or the two persons got together and established a relationship, they were healed. They were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They were happy. So now, as we progress together, we want to maintain those three things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to have any outside influence. You're not going to have your miserable homegirls in your ear. And I'm not going to have my guys in my ear. That lives like every weekend as a bachelor party because I want to be home. Dinner's cooked, about to lay in bed. You've made me coffee. You brought my cigar. And this is where I want to be. This is where mm-hmm. you want to be. Curled up. Head on my chest, braids on my beard, and you're content. You're happy.
Gotcha. So that question stemmed from the idea that relationships now don't last like our grandparents' relationships.
Well, grandparents didn't have as many distractions as we do now. Our relationship now has to appease or get validated by social media.
Okay.
You have all your business in the street. If you didn't get likes on it, we shouldn't do it. Like, everything is about social media.
Uh-huh.
Living for other people versus living for your relationship. The moment that you recognize that and decide to discourse and get away from that and live for your relationship, I believe
mm-hmm.
you'll go a little bit further and it'll last a lot longer.
I wouldn't say social media is a distraction. Well, I mean, for some, it is a distraction. But what I also, I always argue the point that, you know, like, the tolerance level is different. Our grandparents.
But why?
Our grandmothers didn't work, right? And so when my granddaddy make a kid on the next street, you know, she wasn't leaving. But, I mean, he was a provider. I think our elder generation, there was a lot of, there were distractions, but it wasn't so in your face, I guess. And the times are different. I get that part. But I think the distractions have always been there. Men have been making outside kids for years or whatever.
So has women now. So has women.
Right.
Okay. Don't leave that part out.
The argument is always, you know, women don't support their men and they don't stand beside their men. And, you know, those are the conversations.
Okay, let's do this. Let's stop right here. All right, just for understanding. Women do. Girls, they don't. Just because you're of an adult age does not qualify you as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They just make you an adult.
So I guess those that was still the last 2 weeks we've been having the conversations about grown children.
Yes.
So you would say that's their story. It's not. Because, I mean, I'm not, like I tell you, like, you got to be your man or your woman's biggest cheerleader. That's important, right? And I have, for me, that's always going to be the person that I am. However, sometimes as women, we're left to make sure we're healing y'all and accept a man who's been through some things and, you know, all that. Because, like, it's always, we should do this and we don't stick around like our grandmother did. So it's not so much, it's never an attack on these grown-ass boys. It's just what women don't do and what we can't do and how we don't fall in the lines of what they believe it should be.
Okay, time out. Stop, don't let society set the rules for your relationship.
Right.
When I came to you to say that you are my woman, you are my queen, you are my earth. When I came to you and said that I should have been healed.
Right.
I am the head of the house. I am the leader. If you are going to submit to me, then you can't submit to someone who's broken. Our foundation has holes and is leaking. So how solid is it? All because I didn't start out healthy and healed.
Mm-hmm.
So society may say that she's supposed to do this or she's supposed to do that. Wrong. When I came to you, I should have been together. I cannot call myself a king if I don't have a castle for my queen. You would work because you want to, not because I need you to. Because I'm the provider for you. I shed the light on you. You're my moon. It's not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So make no mistake about it. This is the way it was in your grandmother's time and your grandfather's. And it was true then, and it worked then just like it still worked now. However, society has come along and tell you, well, this is 2021 or whatever the case may be, and women don't do that anymore. No, women do that. Girls think it's some other way because of whatever past issues that you have. You will always be in a position to where you can tell your employer, I don't need this job. I don't have to take this BS. And they will not change the comfort of your lifestyle.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry, I kind of got on my soapbox right there.
It's okay.
Let me hit this coffee cup and...
But it's not, the conversation, I guess it always reverts back to, you know, I mean, a man would know that, absolutely. But, you know... There are those of them who believe that, you know, women should just, you know, take care of it, deal with it, handle it.
In regards to what, supporting?
No, because you should support your person. Like, if he's
falling
on hard times, you're absolutely supposed to be there. I think...
Mm-hmm.
For me, for instance, okay, let me give you an example. There was, and you know, a lot of my blogging is social media. So there was the conversation going around in regards to what if a man proposed to a woman with it was like a $29 ring from Walmart or something, or whatever. And of course I was like, no. Absolutely not. And then, you know, it turned out you got some people who call you a gold digger. And, you know, so I elaborated. And, you know, because they was like, the old people, they got married, and some of them didn't even have rings, right? I was like, but you know what? Some y'all want to be back in those days. But if we're going to be back in those days, we're going to be back in those days fully, right? But if not... Because men aren't some, I take that back. Most boys aren't providers like they think they are. And I never want to get in a space where, like, I feel like no woman wants to be the sole provider for her family, right? But that's now a possibility. So I think I got in the state. Well, I got into the conversation of like, we not our grandparents. Like the table that y'all asking, what can women bring to? We providing our own table. We absolutely can if we needed to. And it went into that space because it was like, it wasn't even for me. It was about like, what does he feel like I'm worth that he would bring me a $29 ring?
Well,
and then the conversation was long and extended. It was like very four days long extended.
Just because you can provide your own table doesn't mean you should. There's still roles in relationships.
Right.
If I propose you and don't have a ring, my commitment is to you. And to no one else, whether you have a $10 million ring or a $29 ring, it is between you and I. It's no one else's business. If I came to you and say, we're going to jump over this broom, we're going to, you know, break these flutes, whatever the case may be. Your obligation is to me, and mine is to you. When you start getting these 10, 20 carats, you're putting on for other people. You want other people to know what he did. But he gave you this $10 million ring, and he got like 14 other chicks over there. But he gave you this $29 ring, and you the only one. The only one. He's home every day. He's getting up and going to work. He's making sure you're happy, you're healthy, you're loved, and he letting the world know So does the ring really matter?
In a sense, yeah. To me. Because, I mean,
why does the ring matter?
Definitely, I get the love part, and no, it's not about, but you should be able to do for me what I could do for me, and vice versa. Like, I feel like if I meet you wearing...
So then buy your ring.
Absolutely not. That's not how this works.
Okay, then. Okay, then. That's the point. Like,
but that
you
goes
have
back
everything
to the same
else.
Conversation we had last week. If you were...
Well, listen, hold on. Wait. Let me give you something that you can't give yourself.
Okay.
Whatever we come to that agreement, and I see that's what it is. Let me give you that.
Mm-hmm.
The ring does not mean anything. The commitment is what means everything. The consistency is what means everything. The respect, that's what means everything. Show me that in a ring. Whether you go look at Macy's or Jacob or Kay or the pawn shop, show me that in a ring.
But why not? Why not give her all of that? I think the conversation for me was more so about if I can provide myself a carrot, why not date somebody that could or marry somebody that could do the same? Now, whatever y'all discuss, if that's not the ring she wants, cool, I get it. But what I'm...
No, she don't have a choice.
What?
You don't have a choice. If I come to you with this 10-carat ring and I propose to you, you don't got a choice. You got to take the ring that I'm offering.
But I still say, baby, it's too vague. But you got to know your...
What woman says that? What woman has said that? That's too big. I ain't wearing that.
People don't want
exactly.
That.
Right. Exactly. No one has ever said that that you know of.
If it's too big, it's too big.
You walk around with a Volkswagen Beetle on your finger. And you're going to have your hand out the window showing it off. You're going to... Listen, cut it out.
No.
Cut it out. Don't do it.
But you gotta know what she wants and what she likes. As she should, right? So if you know...
Yes.
But that's like you said, remember we were talking about standards last week, right?
We were. You know why I'm giving you this 10-carat ring? Because you are my queen and you deserve this. I got you this $29 ring because this is what I have after all your bills have been paid, after everything has been handled, and I've paid for us to go to Niagara Falls, and this is what I had left over. Now, next month, or whenever the case may be, when we get married, you may have that 10-carat ring. But right now, at this moment, in fact, I don't even have enough money to get you a free refill because I made sure everything was already handled. You still going to tell me no?
No.
And you know I got a bad knee, and I'm still down here on one knee. You still going to tell me no? I'm just saying. Let's look at the justice. I'm giving you forever. I'm giving you my forever. That's what you can't get for yourself. I'm giving you my forever. Forever lasts a lot longer than that ring. Not only am I giving you my forever, I'm giving you me forever.
I guess we can respect your perspective.
You say what?
I said I can respect your perspective.
That's it.
But then the point that I was going to ask about is the topic we had last week when we talked about standards.
Mm-hmm.
If you know your woman,
mm-hmm.
why would you, and you know that's something she wouldn't like or she ain't weird, why would she, why is that the exception? Because he's asking her for her hand in marriage.
No.
But remember, the analogy you
Again.
Used was fake jewelry.
No fake jewelry. What I'm, the standard is this. Beyond the trinkets. The commitment. You keep this ring. You might not even put it on your finger. I want you to wear this around your neck as a constant reminder to me every time I look at you, every time I kiss you, every time I hug you, I see this. So I know not to get complacent. I know not to ever stop grinding because my queen deserves to be treated as such. I'm going to drive this Ford Explorer until the wheels fall off so I can get you this 10 carat. Now, you may have a new Audi or whatever the case may be, but I'm going to roll this Explorer until, because I got to get you this here, because I got to replace that $29 that's ring that's on a string around your neck, whatever the case may be. Whatever the case may be. So that I can get you to the standard or the level that I know you deserve. You may not even know that you're supposed to be up here. But I'm going to show you. This is where you're supposed to be. And as my queen, this is where you will be. That's the standard.
Gotcha.
Now, once you get that 10-carat ring, don't throw that string and that $29 ring away. I'm going to need you to put that in the photo album. So when, you know, you go bragging to your homegirls, whatever the case may be, and you're like, this is where we was, this is where we at.
Right.
No, why not? Why not? We like pictures. Nope. Everybody like pictures. Everybody like memories. Nobody like plans in the future. Everybody like memories. Everybody like living in the past. Oh.
Mm-mm. I get it. I get it. I can respect your perspective too. Hello?
I'm right here. I'm listening. I'm waiting on you to throw something else at me because I know you got.
I just said I respected your perspective. That's it.
Okay, what you want me to say? Thank you. No, I'm waiting on you to give me something else.
I mean, it's nothing else.
Going out, so I'm getting excited.
All I'm saying is we talked about standards last week, but now it's different because right now, and definitely I respect the fact that maybe we're not there yet, but if why not wait until you're there versus giving her a promise ring per se?
Oh, I'm not giving you a promise ring. No. I'm not giving you a promise ring. When we started talking and we established this relationship, that's the promise. Because mm-hmm. we're not doing this for practice.
Right.
We're not going to start a relationship. And with the attempts or the hopes that this is our last relationship, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we just passing time?
I guess. I absolutely got it. What was next on the list? Evolving.
You said evolving.
Keep the world apart, or do you think that just they weren't? They shouldn't have started.
Do I think people grow apart?
You know, people in relationships, and they be like in relationships for a long time, and then they be like, oh, we grew apart. Do you think people actually grow apart, or do you feel like they should have never started?
You know, I think they do grow apart because you're growing at a different rate as individuals, but y'all wasn't growing together as a couple. That's the problem. Remember I said once we became established as a couple, there's no more you and I as individuals, as single men and women.
Right.
We are now a couple. So we're supposed to grow together. If we're still growing as individuals, we should not have started a relationship.
Now that's interesting. We have a caller. I'm gonna.
Yes, let's take this caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Good evening.
Oh yeah, it was just an interesting discussion. I know you guys are going back to last week. I didn't hear the show last week, but the topic for this week. I don't know. I heard a few things in here. First of all, I heard a lot of things about the host of the show, and I didn't get your name, ma'am, but you said something about should you make a commitment or should you wait until you're there before you make a commitment? I'm thinking you were referring to the gentleman discussion about getting a ring or being able to afford a ring. I thought that was an interesting question. I don't know if the gentleman answered the question or not, but that goes on a lot. It's interesting because I was just in a conversation with someone about that not long ago, a younger person, about waiting until the gentleman is ready. And she said she wanted to, you know, get a gentleman who was ready to be married as opposed to someone and you know, ready to take on that responsibility rather than trying to find somebody with potential that may want to do it and then date that person for a while. So it was interesting that you guys brought that up. I think that's the reason why, historically, younger women date men that are older, because men that are older are a bit smarter, wiser, or supposed to be, and a bit more settled and able to, and settled in their career or what they want to do, and able to better take care of a woman or raise a family, or get it, or start a family rather. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Kia, please.
So, in regards to dating older, or as a whole, the question stems from, for me, I feel like knowing my worth, per se. That's the perspective I come from. Now, Carpe introduced us to a different perspective, and I respect that. I'm just saying, why not wait until you can afford into what you think she's worth? that was my whole argument on it. But he did, you know, I'm willing to understand his perspective in it. But back to the conversation of women dating older men, I think it depends on your maturity level as a woman in regards to who you're going to date.
Yeah, because typically men don't hit our stride until later on, right? So a man, testosterone starts to go down, what, in his 30s? That's when he starts to make the most money. Because his mind is not on certain things that they used to be on all the time. That's when he can focus. That's why a man's prime earning years aren't until his 40s. His mind is clearer. He can focus more. But, yeah, it starts to happen in your 30s. So a lot of women that want to start families, let's say she's in her prime years of childbearing, that's in her 20s, right? Early 20s. So now we have a mismatch. Now, a lot of times we have a woman in her early 20s who's in her prime, if she does want to get married and have a family, the gentleman right around her age are usually, not always, but usually not ready yet, right? Because those guys are now hitting their 30s plus. So that's kind of the conundrum that a lot of young women find themselves in. And as far as material things, I don't know about that. The whole 10-carat thing and all that kind of stuff, I'm not sure. But if you want to have a life that's filled with a little bit of leisure, which means that there has to be a certain level of comfort that's brought about by having resources, usually money. You're gonna have to get with a guy who usually, if the guy is providing or who's supposed to buy this 10-carat ring or whatever, if he's on his grind and he's really doing it, there's gonna be some sacrifices. Usually that guy is very busy as a result. That's something that women will have to take into account. So the 10-carat ring and her being the focus of your universe and all that, that's usually not the case. The guy can't do that. His purpose has to be
the 10-carat was just an example.
Right, right.
That was
the other
end of the extreme.
Yeah. The guy's on his purpose. If the guy's on his purpose and she's not, then the purpose comes first. The leisure is the result of him being on his purpose. And I think women are attracted to men who are on purpose. And their purpose is the biggest thing. The woman's not first, the man's purpose is first. And we see examples of that all around where men are on their purpose and they're successful as a result. And those are the men that women are attracted to.
I think you missed one part of it, my brother, when you were...
I probably did.
When we were speaking and it was when I gave you the $29 ring, it's because all the bills was handled, the trip was paid for, everything was already taken care of, this is what I had remaining. This is why it was only this. So when you're absolutely right. When a man is on his purpose, I believe women tend to like that part. But one of the things that you must also realize when you're speaking, about men and women, boys and girls are part of what you was explaining earlier. Because it's about the maturation level. When we start going teetering back and forth, confusion come in. I can't speak for a boy. I haven't been a boy in quite some time. But I know as a man, my purpose is to take care of my family. That's my obligation. The moment we said we were going to do this, that became my purpose. That's my obligation. That's my charge and commitment. So now that we're here, going forward, I am going to make sure that the house is provided. I'm going to make sure that she's comfortable. Because remember, that's my charge. When she wants to, she don't want to date this young fellow because she doesn't want to, she doesn't want to wait. And like Kia said earlier, she know her worth. Well, just because you know your worth doesn't mean that it lines up with what you really worth. Who established this? How was this established?
The marketplace.
Ah, absolutely right. So now that you're fishing, now that you're fishing in murky water, you can't expect to get a fresh load of fish.
Right. The marketplace always sets the price. Meaning, if you're in a dating
business, I know what you mean, brother.
Yeah.
I definitely know what you mean. No. Definitely.
Yeah. So when I was talking about younger people, I don't see them as boys and girls. When you're in your 20s, I don't see, and I guess I need to clarify because I don't want to insult younger people by saying that men aren't ready at that time. Some are, right? And case in point, when you go to university, you meet somebody. You date while you're in university. Usually there are other races of people there that are dating. Usually after you graduate, about two, three years later, you start to go to weddings. You start getting wedding invitations when you have these friends and people that you went through university with, you know, in the classes and stuff like that, you keep in touch with, they start inviting you to weddings, right? And you start to see other people go into those weddings, you know, and you go to those weddings. But in your crew, it's still all about partying, right? Like, still, but really, and I'm just using school as an example, if you're in college,
of course.
You go and you meet. That's a prime place to meet because that's when you can meet somebody else. That's a good place to meet somebody where you can start a family young with this person around your age because there's a certain level of you guys might be on the same level. You guys studied through school. You made it through. You got your degree. Great. You're pushing on. You're getting into your careers or whatever. And those people usually do get together, and they can grow together. So I didn't want to make it seem like all young people, but I don't think that the young people are boys and girls. I think they're young men and women, and they can't do this because other races do this. There was a number of Asian weddings I went to 3 years after university, you know, around there, 3-4 years. They were getting it going. They were getting it started, right? So others can do it, we can do it too. And we do
agree.
It. So
now my thing, hold on. Let me if you don't mind. I believe personally that it's a culture thing. Right? Because in the black community, you're so education driven and success driven, quote unquote, to you overlook or you start lacking in certain areas. When our counterparts, our white counterparts especially, by the time they graduate college, they're already getting ready to get married because they were in this for that point right there for us to get married, to start our life immediately upon graduation. Can we agree on that?
I would put that more on Asians than I would on white people. White people have a party period, most definitely. But I think our party period may be extended, and that's the problem. I think Asians, they don't usually have that much of a party period.
Okay.
After.
Well, let's just,
you know what I mean? But yeah,
agree,
yeah, I get what you're saying. I get
the black American community. Now, that's my whole point in this. Oh, that part right there. It's not the black American community that's coming out of school getting married because we're so focused on trying to look good in society versus our purpose. We became passionate about looking good in society versus our purpose in society.
Absolutely, and I actually live that, right? So, you know, a few years out, you know, you're making a little bit of money, you know, you try to get the little BMW, whatever. I mean, you're doing a party and thing, you're in the city, you're in a big city, the world is your oyster kind of thing. So, yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, when you go through that, there's a period where you go through it, I think, where it starts to get, where it probably becomes problematic for the community is when it's extended. I mean, you're doing this throughout your 20s, okay, all right, now to settle down. But then now you want to do it throughout your 30s, and now you're 40. It's like, hold on. Don't want to get married, that's fine. For people who don't want to get married, that's fine. If they don't want to get married, they really shouldn't get married. But for those who really want to settle down and, you know, have a family, they just want to extend it because they want to get, you know, live this other life a little bit longer. That's where
is the difference of the boys and the men because of the maturation level.
But I would say that's just a young man, right? I wouldn't call him a boy.
So
I would just say it's a young man's game, and, you know, some young men are more focused than others. Some, you know,
men are boys. We can play semantics all day, but the fact of the matter is they're much different. The maturity level is much different from that man and that young man or that boy, because the man is now on to bigger things and seeing greater things other than partying all night, because he knows he has responsibilities. He knows he got to get up and go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I don't use the boy thing, because historically that's not been, you know, the call, usually a young man, you know, for us black men, they call them boys.
Okay.
It stings a little bit. You know what I mean? Historically,
I get that. It's two black men having a conversation.
Yeah.
It's two black men having a conversation. So you know that I don't mean any disrespect, and you don't mean any disrespect, but one thing I will not do is have you put someone less than my maturation level in the same category as me. Because we have 50 and 60-year-olds who still trying to maneuver like they're juveniles. Now, you're an adult male, but that does not make you a man. Because being a man is intentional. You're trying not to grow up, if you will. So that's the reason why I made the distinct difference between the two, just for the sake of conversation, so you can get the contrast. That's all.
Okay. I like to, you know, and back to try to stay on the whole topic, I think that women, and I want to get her thoughts on this, you know, it's been said that women, you know, get with men with the intention of changing them, and men get with women with the intention of keeping them the same, right? And I want to get her thoughts on that, whether she thinks that's true or not.
I'm sorry, you said men get with women with the intention of doing what?
Of them staying the same.
And
women get with men with the intention of changing them.
So we do this back and forth a lot. I honestly can say that I'm not like most women. I have no desire to change anybody of age. You either are going to be what I need you to be or you're not. But there are, I have girlfriends, I have sisters, and all those things. And, you know, they always see potential. I don't date potential. You either are or you aren't. But, you know, that is historically, that is true. Women see greater in most men than they see then those men see in themselves. And I get it. And it's admirable, but it's not for me. But yes, that is true. And then, you know, most man boys, well, that's the ongoing topic, date women that are fun and, you know, things like that, that they can control. Typically, most men date women that they can control. Either, not so much control, they control them either with financially or emotionally or something in that manner where she has to rely on him. So, no, they don't want her to change. They want her to be reliant upon them. And like, the fun part of it, cool. Like, they don't want to date somebody who's got to go to work every day and maybe work as much as they work, et cetera. So I get that. Historically, that has been, you know, the way it is. But I also believe in dating, finding your person, right? Dating somebody. Like, you can date for fun. Don't get me wrong, because I've done that. But when you're intentionally dating and ready to move in that direction of finding your forever person, I think it's important to meet somebody that you don't have to change. You don't have to, well, if he just do this better and stuff like that, be like, I love him for who he is to me, etc. And that's just it. Like, it doesn't have to be, but there's no but. You should love your person. And that's a lot of things. Love, things like love get thrown around so quickly. And for me, I have to know. I have to feel it. Like, are we going to be in it together or are we not? And the minute that we not together no more, we not on the same page, we're going to have one conversation and then I may be gone. So historically, that has been the case. Women do date men that they see potential in, they want to change. But I'm not, we do that when we're young. I'm 35. I'm not dating a man of age that I need to mold into a better man. That's not my job. That's up to his mama. And then him making some life choices and decisions. That's not on me. But you do have women.
No, that has nothing to do with his mom.
To them, to them, do your thing. That's not for me. I'm never like, what works for you works for you. But most things that work for most people don't work for me. But typically, historically, what you stated has been true. And, I mean, it still is true because you always want or you always see a woman was like, you know, I started this and I helped you do this. And that, at the end of the day, he no longer wants you because he now sees who he can be and you're not the person that he wants there at the finish line with him. So I have no desire to go in there and let me show you what you can be. Let me be in support of what you already have going on. Let us build something together. But I'm not about to make you into a greater man. You should already be a great one. And we about to be the best we can be together. But that's just me in my perspective.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're going out on a date. At what point do you ask, is a gentleman, let's say if you want to get married, and I don't know if you do or not, let's say you want to get married and you're going out on a date. At what point, or what date number one, two, three, whatever, do you ask the question about whether that person sees themselves getting married sometime soon?
So... Another thing, like, people ask me questions all the time, but I'm not, like, I think when you meet your person, you know, right? Like, from first interactions, even if it takes time for it to grow into what it could be, you know your person. I'm not a fan of, I believe in, and this is your first time listening to us, I'm assuming, I believe in gender roles wholeheartedly. I'm not asking you, I may ask you, do you see yourself getting married? But as a woman, you know if this is a date that's going to take you somewhere. And a man knows if this is the person, like, can I do life with her? Y'all know men aren't as dumb as they act. Like, people like to say, well, men are stupid. They really not. They know. They just won't say. However, I don't feel like that's a conversation. Like, maybe when y'all getting to know you, like, do you eventually see yourself being married? But that also could go in a downward spiral because he could think that I see that in him if I'm just out going to get something to eat, right? So I think if you are in that space, you're intentionally dating and you want to get married, then there should be no fun dating. You should be dating with intention. But if you're just dating for fun, that's not a conversation y'all should be having. And if somebody feels one way and the other doesn't, a lot of people don't communicate. That's not the thing. So I think it's about communication. If you want to be married, state that. And if you want to be married and you know, I don't want to just date, I don't want to just be in another relationship, I think you should, when that person comes to you, that should be in the first date. Listen, I'm not out here just dating anybody. I want to get married. And if that's not what you're trying to do, let's end this.
So your answer is the first date.
Absolutely. If that's where you're at.
Okay. So if you were to do it, if you were wanted to get married and you were dating with that intention, you would do it on the first date. And I want to get the brother's perspective on that too, because I want to get the brother's perspective on what he thinks about a woman broaching that topic and when she should do it.
I believe that before we had that conversation over the phone, before we even send out the email, you know what I mean? Because it's about the communication. And if we haven't had these conversations of our expectations starting out, then what's the purpose of us going to have a meal? You dig? So now, once you're out here having a meal, we can elaborate on the things that we've spoken on previously. But here right now, like, we're not just going to pull this out of the air. Because, again, if we haven't even lined up, then what's the purpose of us going out?
Exactly. And I think that's the part of the communication that the sister was talking about. At first, I didn't think she was going down that road because she went down another road. But she eventually came back to, I would do it on the first date. Which I agree with. If you are dating with marriage in mind and family in mind, especially I think it's important for women because you're working on a shorter time frame for those things than men are. There's a time consideration for women that's a bit different than what men have, right? So I agree with that, what both of you are saying. Like, because I see it happen where it doesn't happen that way. You know us, we date for 5 years before we start to figure it out. Before, you see couples dating for the longest time, had kids and all that kind of stuff before they even bring up the whole marriage thing, so I just thought I'd ask you guys that.
Well, I think that is, there's still, could be based on both of their previous experiences or what they saw by their foreparents, you know what I mean? And all that is, again, like we stated earlier, before we even really establish a relationship, we both should have healed. If we haven't healed from our past, then we won't have a healthy relationship because you still may be broken or I still may be broken.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be dating for 5 years. We shouldn't. We've wasted a whole lot of time. unless we living by our own code and not necessarily going by the societal standards of marriage.
Right.
Because truthfully, if she is committed to me and I'm committed to her, then that's all that matters. We don't got to get witnesses from a bunch of ugly people we'll never see again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, if both those people agree to that, then definitely. I hear what you're saying. Man, yeah. And the host said she was 35.
Yes.
How do you, if I may ask this question, how do you find a different dating now at 35 than when you were 25, let's say?
So I'm in a relationship, so I'm not dating.
Okay.
What I can say, before I was in this relationship, what I wasn't intentionally dating. I was 25 and having fun.
Okay.
So, I mean, what I wanted then is completely different than what I want now. So, me personally, I know the difference between dating, being in a relationship, and I think that's important too, and that goes along with communication. But I've always been a very outspoken person, and I can say to you, hey, this isn't going anywhere, but you know, we can have fun, like we can hang out. And then what we also have to understand, my generation has to understand, that dating doesn't necessarily mean sex, and that's when the lines blur. So us hanging out doesn't necessarily mean that we're having sex. But
I think
you know,
also you gotta establish what fun is.
Huh?
You got to also establish the parameters of fun.
I mean, hanging out, having...
To us having sex is fun.
For some, yes.
Yep.
For some. But at 25, me at 25, I was a brand new mom. So I wasn't in that headspace. Had personal things going on prior to me becoming a mom. So it was like, listen, I'm not trying to lock nobody down forever. We can go to the movies when my mama grab my baby for 3 days because she act like he can't stay home. Like, you know, we can hang out. That's, for me, that's fun. Adult company as a single parent, you know, that's fun. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we were in my bedroom. But that was me at 25. But fun for some, dating for somebody else may definitely be multiple people, and I think everyone has to establish what life looks like for them and do what works for them. But we talk about societal standards. Carpe and I don't really live for other people. I only can do what works for me, and I've always been that way. So what it looks like to you is not my business. I know what I'm doing. So now what I can say is, dating at this age was much easier because I could say, no, just no, no fun, no nothing. I'm looking for something. You can't provide that. Let's skip all of this. So that would be the difference.
Okay. You know what? And another thing I find kind of funny in a lot of instances is what women, when they're, you know, like what they want, if they're still single, what they want a lot of times in their, let's say, late 30s is easy as got when they were 25. You know what I mean? But they may not have been ready. So it's kind of a cool kind of thing. You know, somebody when they were 25 or 24, it would have been a lot easier to get things like marriage and that kind of thing than it is sometimes when they're older, like 40 or something like that, when they really want it, right?
But I mean, then you have to ask yourself, most men don't want to be married at 25.
True. That's very true. But men are in a different time clock.
Why would it be easier if you can't find someone? If I'm 25 and he's 25, and I'm ready to be married and he's not, should I sit around? Do we play this waiting game until he's ready?
Absolutely not. You don't let a man waste your prime. Let's say you didn't have a child at 25. Let's say, but you wanted a child. Don't let a man, or let's say you wanted another before you got 30. I want to be settled down. If I have another child, I want to have it, you know, by 30, something like that. You don't let a man waste your fertile years. That's something you never do. Because men will waste it until it's all gone. Like, if you give a lot of them the chance. Like, no, you never do that. But I'll refer to the brother on that one, too. That's just my thought. But, no, you never let a man waste your fertile years if you're, you know.
I think that if she wants to be with him, then there's no time wasted. You know what I mean? They may come to the understanding through communication that right now isn't the best time, but that's something that they both have to establish. So when she may say at 30, she's finishing up her degree. And truthfully, we haven't really gotten to know each other in those aspects. I don't even know how you are as a mother. Because all you have done is work. All I have done is work. You know what I mean? So we have to have these conversations beforehand. But everything goes back to the communication. Everything starts with the communication and the respect. So if we have this established, then it won't be a waste of time.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I've just seen it far too many times. You know, we're going to do it, the guy's not committing. Because really, we as men, we commit when we're ready to do something. Like, when I was ready to get married, I committed. I already knew. I had all my playing behind me and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what, I'm ready to do this now. And I really wanted a family, right? So I did it. It wasn't a whole lot of hemming and hawing. It wasn't, you know, it was, like you said, dating with a purpose and getting it done. Got it done, right? Because it's what I really wanted. I've just seen a lot of times female friends of mine were dating, extended dating, breakup, extended dating, breakup. Now they're 37. They still want to have a child, but now they're starting to get into high-risk pregnancy situation, right?
But they
allowed it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. They did allow it, and that's what I'm saying. You never let, as a woman, because you're working on a different time clock than a man. A man can say, "I would just wait and see, and this and that and other," but we don't have that same time clock. We can have a baby at 60 if we want it, right? We can have a baby at 70. I guess not. That's not really a consideration for us. If the roles were reversed and men had a time clock like that, believe me, our behavior would be different.
Well, maybe so. But that right there is a hypothetical. But I believe that if he wanted to, if those guys saw that in her, she would have been knocked up, or she would have been married. She'd been whatever. They didn't see it in her. When a guy sees what he finds, what he's looking for, he's all in right there.
Yep.
Period. So those women have to fall back and take an assessment of themselves. And what did I fall short of? Is that fair?
That's definitely fair. I wanted to hear the whole take on that and whether she has friends that kind of fall into the category of waiting, you know, having these relationships and then break up and then long relationships and then break up, that find themselves at a point where they're starting to be a little concerned or nervous about that, you know, about what's coming forward. I don't know if the host has friends like that or if it seems women fall into that.
I do. I have a very good friend of mine who is 39, actually, and she's in that space. But in the 7 years that I've known her, I watch her fall in love with potential. That's self-evaluation. Like, sometimes it's hard, but sometimes you have to actually look in the mirror and be like, is it me? What makes me keep choosing the men that aren't choosing me? Right? Like, that's important. And it should happen. It should absolutely happen way before that age. But I just feel like that comes with knowing self, right? So you have, we talk about healing a lot and being with someone that's healed. Like, you gotta be like, listen, maybe I need to not date for a while and figure out what's going on with me. And because if you're not, like, if you're 40 without kids, and maybe you did your career first, like, maybe you went that route. But, like, sometimes it's not always the other people. If you're in a room with 500 people and 400 of them saying the same thing about you, it's you, it's not them. And sometimes we as women don't want to hear that.
I think part of the thing that you just touched on was she's choosing him. You don't choose to be someone's wife. That man chooses a wife. Society has kind of got it twisted where she's choosing who she's left up. But he's
right.
Choosing who he's marrying.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, you know, I think looks are important. I mean, being attracted to someone is very important. But normally, the fairer sex is the woman. The woman is the one who is supposed to be beautiful. I think, you know, I find it so interesting these days that they expect the men to be beautiful too. the guy is supposed to be well groomed and dressing a certain way and presenting himself a certain way, absolutely. But this thing that the guy is supposed to be some you know, beautiful male version of a woman is just, I find that just, you know, like the guy is so fine, just like the woman. It's like, guys, that's never been the case in history. I'm not saying that it's wrong or it's bad. I just, that's just an observation that, you know, that, you know, the looks, you know, men are supposed to be virile, strong, that kind of thing. But these days, they also have to be, you know, have a certain look or whatever. I don't know. At least that's what I see. But.
So, when you say, because you said looks are important, so should she not find what she's attracted to? Because at the end of the day, people can bullshit all they want, and they'd be like, oh, my God, her brain is this, her brain is that. When you see somebody firsthand, there is a physical attraction. You don't know what his mind worked like. You don't know what her mind looked like. If y'all not physically attracted, you got those one-off situations where, oh, y'all may work together, and, oh, you learn that he or she is a really cool person, but off the bat, you see somebody that you're attracted to physically, and now you want to know more about them. And then from there, you'll determine if you're going to Like, let me figure out more about her. But initially, when you see a woman and you, I don't know, you said you're married. So when you first saw your wife, you didn't say, oh, my God, I wonder what her mind is like. You didn't.
No, but that's a man. It's typically a bit different because men, that's what we look at. That's the currency. That's the currency for a woman is her beauty, right? The currency for a man is his resource, usually. But now it's his resource and, you know, he has to look a certain. I'm not saying, I said that looks are important, meaning you have to be attracted to the person in some way, shape, or form. I think with men is a bit more pronounced because that's just who we are, right? Beauty, you know, a very feminine woman will attract male energy, right? Masculine energy. So we're attracted to female beauty. That's just us, right? Typically, women have been attracted to resources, which I think is still the case. But I think now more, it just seems more and more that they want some additional looks on top of that, just kind of the way men want looks from women, kind of thing. I don't know.
I think that you use the word beauty too soon. I believe that initially she's pretty. You won't know how beautiful she is until you get to know her. Because if she's ugly on the inside, it's going to come out on the outside eventually. You know what I mean? And if she's beautiful, if she's a beautiful person, that's going to come on the outside. When I see you initially, you're pretty. Now I get to know you, okay, and you have the personality to match, you have the brains to match, because we all know as time progresses that prettiness will start to age, but that beauty will still be sustained.
And what do you think about the feminine part of it? Do you think that's a big part of it? Or is it just like some men prefer somebody that may be ultra feminine?
She definitely have to be feminine because that's the opposite of masculine.
Right.
But if you have a feminine looking guy and a feminine broad, clearly, that's almost like a homosexual situation. She already knows she has a male versus a man because we don't have time to go and beautify ourselves. We're too busy putting in work in the field. So if she wants someone to be beautified like her, she's borderline lesbian. I'm just saying.
No, it's not it.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's not it.
Okay.
I think we, as,
right,
as
bro,
a woman,
you got quiet
I
too.
Want my man to look good, but nothing. Well, okay, so I guess I respect it because you do have these men who, you know, be in the mirror as much as us. However, that can work for some. That's what works for them. I don't think that if he's like what we used to call pretty boy, that he may be any less masculine. He might just be
he's
a little extra like a parent. He's what?
He's metro. Now, let me ask you this. Since you want to play opposition, how often is your man in the mirror?
Listen, I don't want anybody in the mirror as much as me.
No, not because you just stated your position as opposing what me and the brother were saying.
I only oppose because I don't think that's always true. I just think some men care more about their appearance than others. My man is fine to me. I could care less what others feel about him. But no, I have what we call a man's man. So I don't have those problems. But what I'm saying is a man that cares about his appearance, I wouldn't say they're in a lesbian relationship. That's not fair. I just think he's in the mirror a lot more than my man. And I think that's okay.
So a man's man versus a woman's man. I'm just trying to get a set of standard here. Now let's figure out, is a man's man is different than a woman's man? Because clearly, if he's in the mirror like a woman, you got female characteristics.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's this thing of, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this, right? The whole masculine and feminine thing. And I know men have been feeling like women are less feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And been talking about it, a lot about it. I mean, for years, right? And I'm pretty sure women, and maybe the host can tell me if there's, she had any discussions with women about men not being as masculine. But from a male point of view, I know it's been a topic of discussion. I don't know how you change that, but it seems to be an issue, a problem. I'll just leave it there.
Let me stand up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sweetheart. How we change that is, let's go back to the time where men were the demonstrators of masculinity. Now you have all these guys walking around dressed like women, tight pants, long hair, just like women. And now the women's clothes are becoming looser. So the male clothes are becoming tighter, like the women's used to be. And now the women's clothes are becoming looser, like the men's used to be. So, yes, it has become a switch. It has a major shift. So how we get back to the way it was? By demonstrating masculinity. Society has set it up to where the roles are shift and the women are becoming less feminine. And the men are becoming more feminine. The males are becoming more feminine.
So, I don't disagree. However, what I will say is, for a woman not to operate in masculine energy, right? Because nowadays you got more women who just have to do it all, right? Because our men are just elsewhere, like maybe not home, maybe he's not at work, because if he at work, then you don't have to do that. But you got men that are in prison. Are they gay? For instance, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. They're gay. They're just not men, right? So last year we talked about a man providing. Most important for a man to make a woman feel safe, comfortable with being vulnerable, okay with just being a woman. Because at any point, most women and their frustration come from them operating in masculine energy. She's upset that she's paying all the bills. She's upset that she's the sole provider. She's upset that she's a single parent, right? So all of those things they used to be things that our fathers handled. When something happened what happened before our time, in regards to what the chain of black men, I get it. However, you have to provide a woman enough room to feel like she can be just a woman. Because if you don't, y'all going to continuously have the conversation in the barbershop about women operating or being more masculine, because 95% of us are out here taking care of everything. And we don't have the room to just be what y'all deem as a feminine woman.
I agree.
For instance, I have an 11-year-old son, and I'm in a relationship now. But for the last 10 years, I'm in the barbershop every Saturday. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've been providing all of his needs. When he's upset, I'm playing football and stuff like that. You get what I'm saying? So when men say, oh, women aren't feminine anymore, well, shit, I out here throwing a football with my 9-year-old. Which won't. Like, we got to have those conversations. You always got to go back and forth because a long time ago, a lot of men stopped being men. So the conversation got to come from both parts. And when a man asks that question, if he asks me directly, I'm asking, so what are you doing to say that you're a man? And then I'm going to ask you, do you have a single mother, you know, and you got kids? Like, I got all those questions. Like, you got a baby mama? And is she taking care of your children by herself? Are you providing? Even if y'all not together, are you taking care of what needs to be taken care of so she doesn't have to? So
yeah,
women
becoming
less feminine,
I agree with you,
stems from men stopped being men. Our males were taken out of our household. They were sent off to war. They were sent to prison. They were given the drugs. I get it. But at what point do you, as women, we're supposed to take accountability for the shit that's wrong in our life, right? Because, you know, men have conversations about, oh, she can tell you this, that, and the third, yet she picked the wrong father for her child. However, nobody said to him, why you ain't taking care of your kid? It's just, I picked the wrong person. Like, that makes no sense to me. And then the idea that I'm in the barbershop every Saturday, I get to hear these conversations. Very seldom do I interject because that's not my story to tell. However, you know, like, y'all have to ask yourself, what are y'all doing to make sure that we get to stay feminine?
It's a two-way street. You know what I mean? When you start talking about, you can easily make excuses for what he's not doing or what he's supposed to be doing. But at the end of the day, once we laid down and made this child, that is our priority. That is our mission. That's our purpose. Even if I'm not, it is the mother's job to have the son around men to teach him to become a man. We can't sit around and throw blame all day long, but we're not progressing. We're not moving forward. We're not going to break this cycle that we continue to perpetuate by just sitting around complaining.
No, I get both sides of this, and I agree with the sister that, you know, it's hard to be feminine when you have to take on masculine responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible, right?
So let me put this out here real quick, bro, to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Agree with her as well. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, and so there's a thing, right? So I look at it like a seesaw, right? So when I was single, I was standing in the middle of the seesaw, standing with my feet on either side of the middle to balance it out, right? And to the mm-hmm. right of me is more masculine, and to the left of me is more feminine. And the only reason I have my foot a little bit on the feminine side is because I got to take care of myself, right? I got to cook, I got to clean, I got to do things for myself and see. So that's a little bit of the care and feeding, if you will, of myself. I have to take care of that. So I have to tap into that part of me, right? Now, when somebody comes along, a woman comes along, she sits on the seesaw with me. Now, I can move a little bit towards the right, and she can move a little bit towards the left, towards her feminine. Why? Because now I'm taking care of things that's where she doesn't have to. On Sundays, I fill the car up so she doesn't have to stop at the gas station during the week. Anything goes wrong with the car, I got it. I clean it out, do the yard, that kind of thing. conversely, she takes care and makes sure I got stuff like stuff for my skin and my nails and all that kind of stuff because the food that's nourishing and healthy and that kind of stuff. So I don't have to worry about it, right? So, So the more masculine I can be, the more feminine she can be, because then I'll take those masculine responsibilities away from her, right? And femininity, to me, is best cultivated in an environment where there's leisure, right? If you ever go in these cities and you see a lot of these wealthy women, what are they doing during the day? People always wonder, you know, these museums and stuff. Go to a museum during the day. You see wealthy women there just looking at beautiful paintings, just sitting down, just looking and taking it all in and just being, you know, because she has leisure. She can do that. She can go get herself done and buy, you know, some fine clothes and shoes and, you know, and go to museums and go to charities and have her charity functions and blah, 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 because she has the leisure time to be able to do it, and he has the resources. So even I take it out on a smaller scale where you're just taking care of a lot of the stuff, she can still be more feminine because she...
Hello? Oh, I think he cut out.
What happened?
I think he cut off.
He got cut off?
Yeah, it just started beeping. Okay, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. But, yeah. I don't know where I cut off, but that's kind of my thought. That we need each other, so we need to be there so she can be feminine, and she needs to be there so we can pull. We don't have to take care of any of that, those traditional feminine roles or anything like that. She can take care of that stuff. I mean, if the two agree, right? Sometimes she wants to take on some of those other things, right? And that's fine, you know, just whatever people agree with. But that's just kind of my thoughts and the way I've seen it. You know, in my life, I need the balance. I need her to take that other stuff off of me so I can go and just go out here and try to be a beast, right? And get this stuff, get things done.
Yeah.
That makes perfectly good sense.
You know, you got to get out here. Need somebody to take care of home while you slay dragons as well. You know,
I agree.
And the brother knows what I'm talking about. You gotta get out here and fight for speed.
I agree with you 100%, bro.
Yep. So in a way, I think both of you are right. But at some point when things break down, we do have to find a compromise, and that's where I agree with the brother. I mean, things are not perfect. Things are done. The baby's already here. What are you going to do? We got to find a way. You got to find a way. Because it's really all about the younger people now at this point. It's about the next generation. You know, for those of us who are a bit older, we've had our time, you know, to kind of do it. Now we got to set it up for the younger people to do it better. So, yeah, if there's a boy, yeah, try to find some males that boy, you know, hopefully the father that the boy can be around and develop, right? Because we always men talk about daddy issues as far as women, and we laugh and joke about it and all that kind of stuff. But there's also father issues with boys. That's not, you know.
You're true.
Absolutely. But we've reached our 2-hour mark. What's your name?
Pat.
Thank you for joining us. We come on every Wednesday if you want to join us again. But show's ending. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
And
thanks
your
for
input.
Thank you. Thank you.
But we'll be back next week. Same time, 9:30 every Wednesday.
I'll be back. Good night.
Thank you.
Peace,
good
my
night.
Brother. I appreciate it.
Hello?
Yes, it sounds like the conclusion of
yes.
tonight's show.
That was a good one. Some outside perspective.
I agree.
Well, we'll be back next week. Thank you always for joining me.
What's good, y'all? It's your girl, Seven Screw, and you're listening to me right here on Pandora.
You have a good one, and again, next week, I'll be here.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Peace and blessings manifest with everything.